The Angry Chicken is a production of Amove TV. Bookmark amove.tv for more gaming and esports shows. The Angry Chicken is directly supported by listeners like you via patreon.com/TAC.
A podcast about Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft. This is the Angry Chicken.
Greetings and welcome back, everyone. This is the Angry Chicken. I'm Garrett, she's Joss, and we've got a hell of a show for you today. Happy Patch Day, everybody. We're recording this show a day early, which means literally like 10 minutes ago, the balance update patch has officially hit the Hearthstone client. They were making us wait for this one, Joss.
What do you mean they're making us wait?
I was expecting it earlier than this.
Like earlier in the day?
Yes.
Oh,
it's
okay.
3 o'clock.
Like, they announced them like on Thursday. It's Monday. Like how fast do you want?
No, I mean, like I didn't expect it to come out this late on Monday.
Oh, okay.
What do you think? I thought they were going to like flip the switch on Sunday. God, listen. All right. Really, all right. Listen to me, Team 5. Listen, I know you've got families, you have lives, but why didn't you go into Blizzard Entertainment on Sunday and push this patch live? That is what I want to know. That is the hard questions I want to ask.
I'm all caught up now. But yeah, I guess it is. It's kind of, well, it's like noon for them, right? So I think they probably pushed it right before lunch. I guess that makes sense.
But I don't know. I'm spoiled by their, they tend to get things out at like 1.
You're very spoiled. Well,
sorry that they have been doing things on time. They've been hitting their dates and their times. I guess they didn't give a time, so whatever.
They didn't give a time, yeah. But, so this isn't like they're not like late, actually late. They said Monday, now it's
listen,
here.
Joss, do you use Twitter? Have you been on Twitter at all today? Because anyone who plays Hearthstone is on Twitter going, where's the patch? So as far as I'm concerned, 3 o'clock is late.
Okay, fair enough.
Because that's what Twitter told me.
I think you did fine, Blizzard. Don't listen to Garrett.
I mean, yeah, fine. But it's patch day. We have not seen an official list of hot fixes for Zephyrus, even though we know they came.
Yes, there are changes.
There are changes. Yes. That came via our interview with Celeste Alon, which if you are also subscribed to our YouTube channel, you have already seen, but it will also be part of today's program. We will be ending today's episode with the interview with Celeste Alon, all about the deep dive history into the years spent creating Zephyrus. And also... Celeste Alon hit us up with a little bit of, at the time, since we got to put the interview out on Friday on YouTube with the hot drop that more hot fixes were coming for Zephyrus. But we haven't seen an official list. We have some teases of some of those changes in our talk with Celeste Alon a little bit later on in the program. But in the meantime, I've been looking around for it, can't find it, so we won't be talking about it on this episode because it doesn't exist.
Patch notes, Steve, come on.
Well, honestly, I don't think we've gotten a technically like official patch notes either. I checked the launcher right before this. There's nothing other than the news post from last week pointing to the balance changes, which is going to be the main topic of conversation here at the top of the show. But before we get into that, Grandmasters season 2 it's here. It has begun. Grandmasters is back. And I'm curious, Joss, how are you enjoying the new Grandmasters? Because I would say it's a marked improvement with the new format. Well, the new old format.
the modified old format, I guess. I watched quite a lot of it over this past weekend. I had my first weekend off in a really, really, really long time. So I actually had some time to sit down and watch. And I'm kind of two minds. I really like the shield phase. I think that's really cool. It's a great idea, and it means that we're always going to see at least one deck that the players really want to play, which is exciting. And then, you know, that you still have the bans. So you could potentially, you know, like target things, but you do have to also take into account what people might try to like save. So it creates this really interesting dynamic, but then you're still doing best of threes. Now, I understand it should be best of threes because best of fives would make these days literally run into each other. Like you would not be finishing EU before APAC would be starting again. So I understand it needs to be best of three, but it does make those series feel like they're going by a little bit too quickly for me, just because I'm really enjoying it now. So I want to see those, you know, like fourth and fifth games.
Yeah, I think that's fair, and I think it's only going to get more interesting because the only real thought I had that was anything other than oh this is better is, well, honestly, I'm kind of just really excited to watch Grandmasters after today, Monday, as we're recording the show. I'm excited, more excited to see what this modified Conquest meta is going to look like in Grandmasters post the nerfs that just went live.
Yeah, I kind of wish that they had been a little bit faster on the nerfs so that they were in place ahead of Grandmasters Season 2. But I mean, 1 week of old meta isn't terrible. It's fine.
Yeah, but I say that for me, it's like it's super minor, super, super minor, because there's going to be so many games of Grandmasters logged. I wouldn't be surprised. I've already got some tinfoil hats, Jocelyn. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see another balance update between now and the end of Season 2 of Grandmasters.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we will probably see something else happen now. Donae went on his daughter's stream, I guess, last Wednesday or Thursday. And I guess Wednesday, because the nerfs were announced on Thursday and he kind of leaked that nerfs are coming. But yeah, he did like a Q&A. We're going to talk about that later on in the show. But one of the things that he did talk about was basically like somebody asked, are they going to do buffs again? And he was like, well, we're going to do stuff. It might be buffs, might not be buffs. Who knows? And I was like, okay, so it sounds like there is something else coming during this expansion. Now, whether that'll be nerfs, buffs, new cards added, Hall of Fames, rotations, like who knows? But there, I do expect something else to happen within this expansion.
Do you like that, or would you rather them commit to doing a buff event every expansion?
I'm glad they're doing something. I mean, I'm kind of in a wait and see kind of headspace right now. Like, I don't want to say it should be buffs because I think that they have had a lot of really great ideas lately and they've been very flexible and fairly quick in terms of like how often we've seen them act and how quickly we've seen them act in previous expansions. So I think that I'm putting my faith in the Hearthstone team because I think they've re-earned it at this point, because of how they've been pretty much acting since April in terms of everything from changing from specialist because of fan feedback through like trying buffs for the first time ever, all the experimenting they're doing in Arena. I think they're in a really flexible place. So whatever they decide to do, they've got my faith back. So have at her, Blizz. I'm sure it's going to be good.
Yes, same. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, obviously it makes sense to wait and see, let's see what they do next. But like overall, you know me, I don't like locking yourself into an arbitrary rule set just for the sake of it. So I kind of like the idea of them having this Rolodex, this like keep things fresh Rolodex that they can kind of move through. Like, all right, guys, if we're in between expansions, what should we do? Should we do buffs? Should we do Hall of Fame rotations? Should we do new card? Should we do a mix of those things? I think that's all really cool. That's all possible. And I think they should pull from what they feel would have the best impact on the game and not just like, well, it's the middle of expansion. We better buff cards, even though we don't really think any cards need a buff just because we said we would. So I'm leaning on the side of sounds great to me. I'm glad you're being flexible.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, yeah, I expect something to happen. It'll probably happen during Grandmaster Season 2. Because Grandmaster Season 2 with playoffs runs straight through October, and then we have the global finals in November. So, I mean, unless they squeezed in a change between Season 2 and the finals, maybe that would be what they would do timing-wise. I mean, we're not going to get our next expansion until post-BlizzCon, right? So that could be a timing thing that they're aiming for. I don't really know. We've got single player coming, I think, sometime in September, right? So it's, you know, they've got stuff happening. There's going to be stuff for players to do. So I'm not necessarily in a rush for new changes right now, because like they just nerfed things literally today. So I think that's going to have maybe a bit of an effect on the meta, but I'm fine with it right now. We'll actually talk about what the nerfs are and my thoughts on them in a second. But
yeah.
But Grandmaster Season 2, I think, is much, much more entertaining than Season 1, even after just a week. It was not that good a week for some of our finalists from Season 1, though. I think Fino and Surrender and I think it was PNC all did terribly this week.
It makes me kind of excited because, again, I know I keep saying this, that reminds me of StarCraft. So often the leaders from the previous like season kind of come back and get the clock cleaned.
Oh, really? Is that that's a thing that happens?
I mean, I'm a bit of a Maru fan and he's doing better this season. But spoiler alert for a season that's already over. Season 2 got knocked out in the first round.
Ooh.
After setting the GSL record for most wins ever. And all of them were consecutive.
Oh, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. The beginning of this year was his
thing that I know.
Yeah. The beginning of this year was, I believe, his fourth GSL victory in a like championship in a row. They were all in a row. It was dumb. And then the beginning of season 2, he's just boop out in the first round. So it can happen. So yeah, I mean, it's a new format. You know, you've been dedicating your brain space to specialist. And, you know, we always waffle back and forth talking about, well, that should be part of their, maybe flexibility should be considered to be part of the skill set, yada, yada, yada. I definitely lean more that direction, but whatever the case, there's so many factors that could have gone into their performance being kind of rough. And also, like you said, it is fewer games. Best of three in a conquest. I think best of three lends itself better to specialists because of the fact that you're playing the same deck over and over again, but with a unique class being played each game in conquest, best of three leaves more for randomness to kind of decide the victor.
Mm-hmm. That is very true. And yeah, so I'm still kind of on the fence, but I'm enjoying it as a viewer at least, which I think is very important. Although the viewer numbers for Grandmasters didn't seem to be particularly high. I think the highest I noticed them at was around like 17,000 to 18,000. And then the lows were down around like 13,000, which for Hearthstone events on weekends is not that great.
Yeah. I mean,
it's about on par, I think, with season one. And I just hope that people give this new format a fair shake, because I'm kind of worried that people didn't like specialists, so they didn't like Grandmasters, and now they're, you know, just shying away from it. But there's some really good, really interesting, really fun Hearthstone going on right now in Grandmasters. So I recommend, if you turned it off partway through season one like I did, give season two a shot.
I would imagine that our kind of trepidation and kind of desire for the balance update to get here is also playing a role with the greater viewers, right? Like I would imagine, like, a balance update is coming and you're just like, okay, well maybe I did or did not like Grandmasters, but there's going to be a balance update Monday. I'll start watching after that. I'm not going to get invested in Warrior, in Mage, in maybe even Combo Priest.
There were a couple of times where like Galaxy got coined out on 4 or even played on 5. And then, you know, the next draw was like one mana Alexstrasza, and then there was Lethal. And I was just like, man, I would be so salty if I was on the receiving end of that. Maybe that's why I'm not a pro. I can't take that kind of frustration, but
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So anyways, before we get into the news, we want to thank those of you supporting us over at patreon.com/TAC. This is, you know, as you might know, the best way to support this program. If folks want to support us,
that I know,
they should check it out. patreon.com/TAC. We got multiple perks for you. You can get like early signups for the community tournaments we put on. You can get access to the patron only Discord, which is where you can like skip the inbox. You can just talk to us. You and I are floating around there pretty much all day.
Yeah, I get notifications anytime you guys send messages in those channels, so maybe I shouldn't have said that. Oh, dear.
Well, listen, I mean, our patrons are good people, All right. That's true. I don't think it's like 4 a.m. and they're going to just be like, hey, Joss, what you thinking?
Which, oh, you know, that, well, you know, 4 a.m. would be fine. It's the people that message at like 10 a.m. that I'm like, come on, guys, I'm sleeping.
Well, that's me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for messaging you at 10 a.m. Actually, this BlizzCon is the first year we'll be roommates. So everyone, yes. If you would like to message me questions that I can annoyingly ask Jocelyn as if I was a little brother at ungodly hours of the evening when we're trying to sleep before the next day, let me know. And just be like, hey, Jocelyn, do you think the colors I see are the same colors that you see? Questions like that. Send them in.
Oh, this has been a mistake.
Anyways, if you like the Angry Chicken, you like what we're doing, you want to support us, head on over patreon.com/DAC. And thank you to M, last name Blind, Alex V, two of our most recent patrons. Thank you so much for supporting this program. And now we're going to move into this week's Hearthstone news.
Good news, everyone.
So balance changes were announced, and they have just released basically at the beginning of when we recorded this episode. So we haven't actually had time to play on this patch. But since the last episode, the balance updates were announced, and they are now out. And we're going to start talking about Mage, Jocelyn, because Mage had more nerfs than any other class. One might argue tied with Priest because of the Barnes nerf, which I can't even believe I'm finally uttering those words, because of the Barnes nerf. But here we are. But let's start with the standard meta, because Conjurer's Calling and Luna's Pocket Galaxy are both up on the chopping block. And Conjurer's Calling has gone up from 1 mana, going from 3 mana to 4 mana. No other changes on this card. And you're going to hear me say that about every card today. It is just mana increases. Nothing else. Nothing too weird. My brain is in a weird spot right now, Jocelyn, because I'm thinking about fandom and theories and fan theories and talking within communities amongst themselves, because I'm having this bleed over today on this Monday, August 26th. I'm having a bleed over from Star Wars and Hearthstone.
Okay.
Because the
I thought you were going to go with Warcraft somehow, but
oh no. Mostly I'm just excited to drink Red Bull and order a pizza and play Classic tonight. Like it's freaking 2004, which is exactly how I plan to spend my evening. But no, like the nerfs got announced, and I don't know about you, but I was reading public forums, Reddits, Twitters, things like that. And there seemed to be an overwhelming negative reaction of, oh, it's just mana changes. This isn't the most creative ways to adjust these cards that we've seen. And it's making me think of Star Wars, because I'm seeing an even mix of people who just want to get back on the trailer bandwagon and make fan theories for Star Wars, and another half that are all pushing back going, you know what? All fan theories do are get us excited for things that aren't going to happen. And then when they don't happen, we feel personally accosted. And I think that's exactly what happened with these nerfs. Some of these, especially the Mage and the Warrior nerfs, we've waited so long for. We've had a lot of time to sit here and homebrew and theorycraft and share our thoughts together, that we as a collective hive mind, the fans of Hearthstone, have come to what we think is the correct decision on these cards before letting the team speak for themselves.
100%. And I feel like we're doing it more and more often with more and more things. Like you say, Star Wars, I think Game of Thrones, like...
No. Game of Thrones was just bad and they had no idea what they were doing. That's a completely different, completely different. No. Don't you try and talk sense into my anger about the final season of Game of Thrones.
Sometimes are better than what happens in reality. Yes.
Or sometimes things just cannot live up to their expectations. We can't all be Breaking Bad.
So, yeah, I think I completely agree with you. That is definitely the kind of thinking that we've seen around these cards, Conjurer's Calling and Dr. Boom specifically. Conjurer's Calling, I mean, I am definitely in that, I guess, frame of mind, though. I agree with the Reddits and the Twitters of the world in that I think that this is not the most imaginative way to change things. I think specifically in the Dr. Boom case, it's not addressing the underlying problem. I think the Conjurer's Calling change somewhat addresses the problem in that it no longer can be discovered off of Magic Trick, which was a way to get a whole bunch of Conjurer's Callings that you weren't supposed to have.
Yeah.
So
It was,
it restricts it a little bit more and gives you like just the ones in your deck with current builds of the way Conjurer's Calling Mage works. So I think that this was the better of the two when it comes to addressing the problem. I like the design. I'm glad they didn't like stomp its face into the ground with this nerf. Cause I do think it's a very interesting card. But yeah, it's super powerful. The whole twin spell thing, man. Whew.
Yes, absolutely. It really does feel like, to me, I'm looking at this one mana increase and I go, perfect. This is worth four mana, especially with giants still playable in standard. It like you said, the big thing for me is that it takes it out of the range of Magic Trick, because I was really getting flashbacks to more than two ice blocks. Mm-hmm. With Conjurer's Calling, on top of the fact that it's twin spell. So if you find one extra copy of Conjurer's Calling, it's that much more effective.
Yeah.
And kind of backbreaking as to what the plan of the deck that runs these cards is. So yeah. I'm really happy with this change. And the following one, which is Luna's Pocket Galaxy, essentially being unnerfed. It's going from 5 mana back to 7 mana, where that's how much it originally costed. It's a bit of a controversial change, although I think most of the changes today one might file under controversial. I think most people seem to be happy with Conjurer's Calling and Barnes, but Luna's Pocket Galaxy, Dr. Boom, Mad Genius, Extra Arms, I'm seeing a whole lot of discussion around those three cards.
Yeah, and I think, well, I said last week when we were discussing what we thought might potentially be on the docket for nerfs, Luna's Pocket Galaxy was the one that I said I could see them changing it, because, like I said, when they first announced Rise of the Mech, 7 mana down to 5 mana is a huge discount and makes it extremely playable. So I feel like there's a happy medium there, because at 7 mana, it didn't get played. So I don't want it to go back into obscurity. I would still like to see it get played, but maybe just slow those decks down a little bit. And I think 6 mana might be the sweet spot for Pocket Galaxy. So I'm a little bit surprised, given, again, with their flexibility and experimentation that we've seen from Team 5 lately, I'm a little surprised that it went from 5 all the way back up to 7 instead of trying out 6, seeing if it was a good fit. And then if it's not, you still have space to go back to 7. Like, I think this card is just not going to get played now the same way it wasn't played previously, which kind of sad, I think, because it's a cool effect, and it's neat to build a deck around really like big bomby cards and then getting them cheaper. I mean, I would have even liked to see it stay at 5 mana, but then maybe make it your minions now cost 2 or 3, like play with that part of the card, as opposed to just the straight up mana cost and putting it back to where it was pre-buff. Cause yeah, I'm sad to see this go. I'll be honest. It wasn't around very long.
Yeah. But it, I mean, once that buff hit, suddenly like this was mage, and
yeah,
I don't know. I don't want to retread. I feel I have done a pretty solid job of explaining to you all how much I hate this card as it currently exists. And I think it just goes against everything we've been fighting against in Hearthstone. As in terms of, and when I say we, I really more mean Team 5. I think this card kind of goes against all of the lessons we feel Team 5 has learned with things like Kel'Seth. That was where they have said multiple times, like, we didn't really like that was such a draw it and you have a major advantage. And if you don't draw it, you just play a normal game. And that's, to me, that's exactly how Luna's Pocket Galaxy felt. This, to me, seems more like it should have been a quest card, this type of effect, the kind of thing where you can guarantee
you have to do a whole bunch of stuff to earn it.
Yes. It seemed like the kind of thing where it's like you're guaranteed that you're going to start working towards it at the beginning of the game, unless you decide to mulligan it for whatever reason.
That's kind of what they did with the Warlock quest, right? Like, by the time you complete the Warlock quest, then you get the hero power that's draw a card. It's free or whatever. I literally never see anybody playing the Warlock quests, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, it seemed like they tried it that way and it's not as powerful. And maybe that's the way effects like this should be. I agree. Like, if you do get this card, especially on coin, if you've got this in your mulligan and you can get it out super early, then yeah, it is way super powerful. Mm-hmm. I get that. But yeah, like I say, I just wish that they'd maybe messed with other parts of the card instead of just the mana cost.
I'm with you. It would have been interesting to see. And without getting too much back into the what I'm just going to refer to on this episode as the hive mind mentality of you should have been more unique in your approach to these nerfs. I would like to see an interview with one of the developers, someone in charge of balance, whether it's XR, whether it's Danae, talking about why they tend to favor mana and in the terms, and usually when it comes to minions, stats, versus kind of changing up what the card itself does. I wonder if they're gun shy because of like Warsong Commander, because we all kind of reamed them out for that and made fun of the soul of the card joke.
I think they've said in the past, it's just that mana cost is really easy to understand. So it's the first thing they start screwing with when they want to nerf and buff things. Because as soon as you start changing the effect on cards, then, you know, you're messing with players' perceptions of what those cards should do. And I mean, I don't see the big problem with that, because if I'm someone who just jumps into Hearthstone and doesn't read my cards and just tries to play them, it's only going to take me playing it once, which might screw over one of my games. Like, that's a one-time learning process. And then from then on, I'm like, oh, I should go check that card because clearly it changed. Not to mention, as soon as you log into Hearthstone, whenever there's nerfs and buffs, it's like, bam, things have changed.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there. But yeah, I think Conjurer's Calling, you're still going to see it. You're just not going to see it come off Magic Trick. But I think Luminous Pocket Galaxy's gone. I don't see any reason we would go back to trying to make this work when it clearly wasn't, when it had already existed at this mana cost.
Yeah. And I don't think that there's anything necessarily compelling in this particular expansion, because that's the thing that changed, right? Is that we had Saviors of Uldum launch. I mean, maybe you might still see it in Highlander Mage only because like you have one ofs of everything, right? So that might be an edge case, but I don't think that we see it in Conjurer's Mage anymore.
Yeah. Here's hoping.
Yeah, who knows?
Yep. Let's talk about the party I'm about to throw, which is the nerf to Dr. Boom Mad Genius. Going from
you're stoked about this.
It's going from 7 mana to 9 mana. And Jocelyn, I know you've been playing Murloc Paladin, so I don't know why you're not stoked about this.
Well, I'm not stoked about this because, okay, granted, just the same as the buff to Lunas from 7 down to 5, change of 2 mana, that's a big change. I get that. But I guess I'm happy that like I'm not going to get a greetings on turn 6 anymore when they've got the coin and boom. But I don't know. I feel like a straight up mana cost change to Dr. Boom specifically, like I can get behind it on pretty much every other card that we saw change today, but Dr. Boom specifically, I don't think just a straight up mana change actually talked or addresses the problem with the card and what makes it super powerful. And right now, the warrior deck that's kind of running all over the place is Control Warrior. It's not even Bomb Warrior necessarily as much, though both are running Mad Genius. I think you still keep running Mad Genius. Like, you're a late game deck. You're still going to get this crazy big power swing. And I don't think that it impacts Control Warrior hardly at all. I mean, yeah, you might not get the advantage 2 turns earlier, but I don't know, man. It doesn't seem to matter if they play it on 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, or 12. They're still kicking my butt as soon as they get Dr. Boom online. So
I respectfully disagree. I think it's going to have a pretty big effect, because I think for a lot of the aggro decks, and I've been playing almost exclusively aggro since Uldum came out, I think 2 more turns is a huge deal.
The one thing is that you can't use your hero power on the turn you play Boom, right? So there is that, at least that they don't get the hero power swing right away. But yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's also that whether you have coin or not, even just like turn 7 naturally, turn 8 was a huge swing turn for warriors in an aggro matchup. They turned into Boom. And on turn 8, they suddenly, everything they've got has rush. They can make new things that have rush. They may get really lucky with hero powers on top of maybe possibly having been able to hero power in the same turn that they played Boom if it went later. So I don't know. There's just, I think this is going to have an effect. Like, you look at some of the win rates against some of these aggro decks, it's not obviously it's not the best in the world, but it's not the worst. Like against Murloc Paladin, I've just got some stats up here with the most played Control Warrior deck, which is over 300,000 games logged. It's looking at a 60% win rate over Murloc Paladin. That means 40% of the time the Murloc Paladin is winning. You know, what is two more turns before you need to worry about Dr. Boom Mad Genius? Like in the worst case scenario, what is that going to do to that really, I think, shores up the chances of these aggro archetypes being able to drive the final nail in for the win.
And before, I don't know, man. Control Warrior has a lot of tools.
No, I'm with you. Believe me, there's no card that has been rubbing me the wrong way more than Dr. Boom Mad Genius. I'm with you. If they wanted to just like take this out back behind a shed and end its life, I would have been all for it. But I do think it's worth noting that a two mana change is really big in the aggro matchup, and there are already some control decks that just eat Warrior's lunch. They were already winning with Mad Genius at 7. I don't see any reason they're going to have trouble continuing to win with it at 9.
Well, I guess we'll see. Yeah.
So I don't know. I was trying to, because I had, like, my gut reaction was the same as yours. I'm like, oh, this isn't hard enough. Like, this thing deserves to be locked up in jail for life. That's the.
Well, it's not even, I don't think that. That isn't the way. I mean, I'm sick and tired of them playing it on 7 and then me feeling like there's absolutely nothing I can do in the game from that point forward in order to compete with what they can do because of rushing mechs, because of the value generation from the Discover a Mech Hero power, because of the armor generation from the tank up on steroids. Like there's just, it felt like there was no coming back once they played that card. And so since the card hasn't changed, it just means there's going to be no competing with them two turns later. And maybe that's enough for aggro to take them down. I don't know. I don't think so. But I don't want to never see this card again. I just wish that they had taken a look at it and said, okay, the problem with this card isn't that it comes down on 7. It's that, you know, rush for the rest of the game combined with this hero power is too much. We need to, you know, pick one or the other. We need to say like, okay, as Dr. Boom, your hero power is now always do 1 damage to all enemies, or always gain 7 armor would be ridiculous. So not that, but you know, like don't give or take Discover a Mech even out of that hero power pool. If you want to give mechs rush for the rest of the game, don't give them the ability to generate more value out of that hero power, or say, keep all those hero powers and then just say like your mechs have rushed this turn or some or next turn because he costs 7. So playing mechs alongside him is going to be difficult. Like, or this turn your mechs cost 1. I don't know. Like there's ways that you could play around with it that would address the actual real problem with the card and the real power level of the card. And I don't feel that a straight up mana change really does that. I still feel like they're going to play it. And if I'm playing anything other than a super aggressive deck that can actually kill them in those 2 extra turns, then like my mid-range stuff won't compete. My other control decks won't compete. Like there's a point in the game when Dr. Boom gets played that you just can't compete anymore. And that sucks.
I'm in a weird place here where I like the change, but I also like your suggestions. Like a lot, the one where anything that addresses the rushing mech, any way that pulls that back was something I was really hoping for.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. There are control decks that are so horribly favored against the Control Warrior. Quest Paladin is like not even close. Like Control Warrior almost doesn't have a chance with how badly skewed it is in the Quest Paladin's favor. Highlander Hunter, much closer matchup, but still favors the Highlander Hunter. Even Highlander Mage, also damn near the same percentage in terms of being in the Highlander Mage's favor. And this was all pre-nerf. So it's just like, and also like I keep coming back around my thoughts for the last couple of weeks where I couldn't believe that I was starting to soften on the idea of Warrior, but I really do think it was doing a good job of keeping the meta itself of being this cornerstone of how this meta got sculpted. So I'm in such a weird place, Josh, because I'm with you. I would have loved to have seen any of those changes you just said, but also I'm like, it's probably fine. It's probably okay is where I'm landing on the Warrior. But Yeah. Also, I'm kind of, like, my brain keeps coming back to the mulligan, because like Warriors right now, you were probably keeping Dr. Boom Mad Genius in your mulligan when it was 7 mana. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're gonna at 9 mana.
Nine mana is a really hard keep, right? And the reason that it's a really hard keep, I mean, the only thing that we ever saw very situationally at that kind of mana cost being kept was Ultimate Infestation for Druids. Like, there were some very edge case scenarios, and I think we saw it in the winter seasonal championship, maybe, where it was a druid mirror and one of the druids kept it and the other didn't. And the one that kept it won the game because the other one never drew it. Like, there were some very, very extreme edge cases where a keep of a 10 mana card would work. But I don't think that at 9 mana, you necessarily keep it because you have that many more turns to draw it. Right. So, and I mean, Warriors have shield blocks that draws extra cards, like Acolytes. There's all kinds of ways for Warriors to draw cards. So
they also have new card generation.
So much more. Yeah, you've got so much more time. I don't think that you keep Boom.
Yeah. So that's the other thing that I think is going to have a pretty big impact on it, is that I think you're going to find yourself running in the Warriors that don't have Dr. Boom on 9. Like, they used to have it on 7 because they were mulliganing for it. Mm-hmm. So I just think that's another, it's worth keeping in the back of your mind. I'm not saying you're going, you will not see Dr. Boom Mad Genius on 9 ever. That's not it. It's just, it's another factor in this for sure.
I guess the way that I see it is like, okay, so I don't have to hold a 7 mana Dr. Boom anymore. So that opens up another spot in my mulligan for more appropriate early to mid game tools.
Yes. Yeah. It might look a little bit more like a traditional control warrior where they have one more chance to find a brawl, to find not a whirlwind effect. What the hell is the echo whirlwind they've been playing that they seem to always have when they need it.
I'm totally blanking on it. Yes. Warpath. Thank you. I was like, it's war something. Warcry. No.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just blanking on that name, but yeah, time will tell. I actually can't believe this. I'm saying this. I kind of like this change, even though I still would have liked something a little weirder, a little more unique in terms of how they address this card. But let's move on to what I'm calling the most controversial change of this entire balance update, which is extra arms. Extra arms is going from 2 to 3 mana. Yes, the second copy you get is also going to be 3 mana. So they did not go with one of the more popular suggestions I was seeing going around, which is making one copy cost 3 and one copy, or one and the other copy cost 2. I've seen it flip-flopped. Some people think the first copy should be 2 and the second copy should be 3, vice versa. Whatever the case is, that's not what happened. You're now going to spend 3 mana for extra arms. You're going to spend 3 mana for more arms. And they seem to come after Priest pretty quick. And I do see the conversation around this one is really interesting. And I feel, I don't know, do I have my psychology cap on today or something? But I'm looking at all these conversations going, I'm not seeing a lot of people talking about this change being bad from a strictly black and white balancing conversation. I'm seeing a lot of people who are unhappy with this change because of the speed at which this change was made. That there's almost
it was the same as Luna's Pocket Galaxy, right? Like, this is a straight up reversion of the Rise of the Mech event.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. Again, this first of all, like Luna's, didn't have very much time to enjoy its buff, and then second of all.
I would argue significantly less time. Luna's Pocket Galaxy immediately, bam, new archetype, off to the meta with it. Extra arms had to wait till Uldum, really.
Well, yeah, and that's what I was going to say. So second thing is that it didn't actually start to see use in decks until Uldum, so it's had even less time. So yeah, I can see why people, especially when Priest hasn't been particularly dominant lately, it was really nice to see some Priest deck come back. Now, it is the same sort of Priest deck that we've been seeing since like vanilla Hearthstone, basically, and where, you know, like the Divine Favor or Divine Spirit Inner Fire combo, like that's a thing that's been around in the game forever, and it is always potentially the Priest go-to best deck, right? Is like combo Priest just has been around always. So I can see why they don't want to feed into that too much, but then like, you got to give Priest something, man.
Yeah, that's kind of the bummer for me here too. Is like I want to point out the fact that I think a lot of the sentiments around this are very much kind of emotional. Like I get it, and I kind of share that emotion. I was enjoying Combo Priest, but again, if I remove my own kind of desires out of it and feelings of, well, that's unfair. How long did we have to deal with Dr. Boom before you nerfed it versus how long have we had to deal with extra arms before you nerfed it? It is not even close to the same amount of time. But if I remove myself from that, it's really like extra arms is making one drops really powerful. And again, yeah, we could probably have a pretty big back and forth here about, well, why didn't they nerf Cleric? Why didn't they nerf Light Warden? But they didn't. They nerfed extra arms, and I don't know. I don't know. This one is a rough one for me. Ixar got into it on Twitter. He was replying to a thread from Frodan, who kind of, I think you could point to that Frodan tweet as a really good poster child for people who aren't happy with the change to extra arms, because Frodan certainly shared that. But Ixar got in here and replied to it and said that the power level of that deck was varying degrees of understated the last few weeks. And Ixar continued saying that he was pretty confident that given no change, we would be looking at one of, if not the most powerful, purely win rate decks of the last few expansions. So that's interesting, because I've been teasing that Ixar just likes to say, well, keep an eye on it. Because that's what we heard about Dr. Boom for what felt like forever. But here we are, Ixar saying, oh, no. The Combo Priest essentially scares him. Like, it sounds like Combo Priest and what Ixar and what Team 5 was seeing internally was cause for alarm.
Yeah, it very much sounds like they took a look at the nerfs, took a look at what the meta they thought it was going to look like, and I guess they saw people starting to pick this deck up, and now he's thinking it might be, you know, up in the 20% population of like popularity, which does seem is way too high, right? Because yeah, 20% is just way too high. So I understand where he's coming from, but it's like, man, I wish that we'd like started to get there, like keep this nerf in the back of your mind. And this comes back to the flexibility conversation, right? It's like, it seems like they've been super flexible, and literally if they put nerfs in today and then 3 weeks from now extra arms priest was at 20% of what was being played on ladder, I wouldn't care if they did another nerf for extra arms 3 weeks from now if what they think is going to happen actually comes to fruition. Then it's like, okay, yeah, we were watching this. It did get out of hand. Bam. This is the nerf that we were thinking of 3 weeks ago, but wanted to see how the meta was going to shape up and if people actually enjoyed playing this deck. But they didn't do that. So they tried to get in ahead of it. And I don't know.
Yeah. I get worried. I guess
that's a good thing.
I get worried because I want the team to be this open with us. I want them to talk about where their head is at, and I want them to take chances, but I'm hoping that the crackback from the community isn't too strong.
It's always going to be, though.
Yeah, that's true at a certain point. But I mean, that's the day and age we live in, right? Like they simultaneously have to not let that affect their judgment too much, but they do have to worry about it. Like, because why else would XR even be engaging here? Why does any of the Team 5, we constantly see Dene, XR, and Peter Whalen, the top three that could pop into my mind, they're pretty frequently interacting with players of the game on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's, I don't know. I want them to go deeper, I guess. I want to know why does this get bumped up in our minds for us looking into Team 5 and the speed at which they make changes. And this patch specifically, we're looking at Dr. Boom finally, and Barnes, for love of God, we're literally talking years in that case, finally getting adjusted, and extra arms just is like, oh man, that man priest like just found their footing. And I agree. It was very strong. Very strong.
I mean, and it was so strong. And like I said, they probably want priest to just not be playing this same sort of deck that's always been in the background of priest since the game started. So they probably want people to try to experiment with other things. But I think the problem there is then you got to give priest more powerful things. like if Divine Spirit Inner Fire is the go-to priest deck, then make something better that's going to rotate soon and let them have a powerful expansion.
I go one further and say, can we please talk about the classic and basic set? Because we keep coming around to it being an issue.
Yeah, exactly. If they had changed things from classic basic and, you know, like rotate things in and out there a little bit more or make some changes to some of the staples that just are too powerful, then we wouldn't be nerfing extra arms right now. Extra arms would be fine.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't envy them. I really like the cadence of updates they have hit.
Yeah.
But it's not all going to be perfect.
Well, and I mean, like I like you said, I like them being this open. The thing about them being this open is it does open them up for the community to disagree with their reasoning. So as long as we do it in a calm and respectful manner, then that should be good because, you know, like calm debate and discourse on the internet is fine. Constructive criticism is fine. And we should be doing more of that as a community. So as long as we keep it respectful, I don't think there should be a problem with Blizzard opening up. And I think that they should, as a company, be open to criticism from their consumers. And this is the best way to do that, but we have to be respectful about it. So tell XR how you feel, but nicely.
Please. And thank you.
Yes.
My dream is that every time Dean gets constructive feedback that is actually constructive, that he goes, you must listen to the Anger Chicken.
can hope.
That's my dream.
We still have one more nerf to talk about, though.
We do, and it's Barnes. Barnes is finally going to cost one more mana, going from 4 to 5.
So this, again, falls in the same kind of category where I don't know if a one mana change really addresses the core problem with the card, but I'm glad that they finally did something. This was a something, anything type situation. And so they did something. And I'm interested to hear from people, if you do play Wild, if you think that this was enough of a change, because to me, Barnes was super powerful and came out way too early. And this at least addresses the way too early part. But I'm interested to see if that actually changes how it feels to play against when you're in Wild.
I agree with you way more on this one that I'm like, oh, I don't know if that's enough, but huzzah. Like more on that boat with Barnes than I am with Dr. Boom. But
yeah,
this is just such a long time coming. And yeah, my emotions go, well, why didn't you just like say, it's now Ash. Here's 1600 dust. Enjoy. Like that was to me the rightful reaction to how long Barnes has been talked about, a concern, and complained about.
Mm-hmm. Yep, but still summons a 1/1 copy of a minion from your deck. So
yeah, turn 5 Yashiraj coming out, is that really that much worse than turn 4?
Right.
I'm not so sure.
And then you silence it, and then it's still a 10/10. Like
I mean, it's one more turn for an out. It's, you know.
Yeah,
it has an effect.
It does. I'm not arguing that it definitely does, but yeah.
No, but this is where I'm going to have it. I'm
interested to hear from Wild people to see what the changes actually feel like on their end to Barnes specifically. Cause yeah, again, as someone who doesn't play an overabundance of Wild, I'm not sure. To me, it looks like not enough, but at least it's something. At least they're looking at Wild and saying, this is a thing that should be balanced and should be changed. So as long as they keep doing that, I mean, they have no plans for any sort of esports stuff for Wild, but at least they're keeping an eye on it and making sure their community is happy. So,
right. The changes are sparse, but they do come eventually.
Yeah.
It's kind of the Blizzard way.
Yeah.
We still get updates of Brood War every now and then, for crying out loud. No. Anyways, that more or less wraps up the card changes, but we did have some hot takes, some questions over on our Patreon Discord. So we pulled a few of those here at Some Gave All on Twitter. Actually, we also pulled from Twitter. Wants to know, what are we actually dusting with these nerfs? And we here at the Anger Chicken do not take responsibility for you dusting anything that may or possibly get unnerfed, buffed, or become good at some point in the future. With that said, Luna's Pocket Galaxy, get rid of it.
I'm probably going to keep everything. to be honest, just because Pocket Galaxy, I feel like, might still find a place in Highlander Mage. And that's a deck I really like playing, so I'll probably hang on to it. And the other ones I think are still worth playing. So
I have a golden Pocket Galaxy, so I'm immediately going to go make two other legendaries.
I see. Well, in that case, that I can see. If you have opened or crafted a golden Pocket Galaxy, then go ahead and get your two fancy legendaries. But I think that, like, I don't really have anything that I want right now. So I'm in a pretty happy place when it comes to my current Hearthstone card collection.
I'm still missing a lot of the warrior stuff, but that's because I just didn't want to play it. So I was not interested in crafting it. But it's such a personal question. It's my true, honest to God answer. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm dusting Luna's Pocket Galaxy, but I'm not getting rid of anything else.
Yeah.
True Villain Manny wants to know how we feel in light of many of the nerfs being reversals of the first round of buffs. Do you feel the team will be more hesitant to buff going forward?
I think it's an interesting question. It's definitely worth addressing because, like we said, the the Pocket Galaxy and the extra arms are direct reversions of the buffs that came in the Rise of the Mech event. And again, I'm glad that they are experimenting with things like buffs. I'm glad that they are being very flexible and reacting fairly quickly. And they didn't revert everything that they did in Rise of the Mech. So a lot of the buffs were successful. I think just a couple of cards, they went a little bit too far. And we knew the Pocket Galaxy was going to be powerful when they announced what the buffs were going to be. So again, like I think that they'll probably give it another shot because for the most part, I think it was a successful experiment. And like I say, I probably would have actually left Pocket Galaxy and extra arms alone, or I would have put Pocket Galaxy to 6 and kind of split the difference. So
wow, we can't be
buffs were a failure. I guess that's my point.
I'm sorry, Jocelyn.
What?
But we just can't be friends anymore.
Aww.
That's too strong of a take. I can't handle the thought of Pocket Galaxy not just being open disdain from you.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was fun to play. It was fine to play against, like, especially with the addition of a card like Zephyr's to the game. It was like, oh, you're doing super powerful stuff. That's kind of crazy. Okay, well, now I have Twisting Nether when I shouldn't.
Daryl Roman in the chat room asks, is it possible they intentionally went too far with buffs just to pop a temporary meta that was very different? I mean, it's a little tinfoil hatty, but maybe.
Well, I think the buffs were 100% designed to change the meta. So if that was the design, then they succeeded. Huzzah. Yay. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I didn't really answer Manny's question, but I see this as nothing but good. I love this. I love the idea of let's do something we've never done before. And if it goes too far, we have the tools to change it and we will change it. Obviously there's a certain amount, right? Like there's a certain amount where if they did this too often, we would all just go, you have no idea what you're doing clearly. And we're kind of getting jerked around. I have whiplash. And then there's also the, you haven't done enough when I think we've already lived through years of that in Hearthstone.
Yes. 100%.
Not enough.
So I'm ready for it too much.
Yeah.
Not enough. Now it's time for too much.
I really think 2019 has been damn near a perfect cadence. I have been so happy with how frequently Hearthstone has been getting a little love and a little polish. I don't have enough nice things to say about it. Are there certain specific things that I don't agree with? Yes. And we've talked about them ad nauseum on this podcast, but overall, I think this has been the best year Hearthstone has had, I think ever. So I like this change a lot is my answer, Manny. I see this as a good thing. I want to see them experiment. So I don't mind at all if they had to revert some nerfs or buffs. Still have to get used to just saying they buffed cards.
I know, right?
Yep.
And I'd be totally okay with them reverting nerfs too. Yeah.
Al the Third on the Patreon Discord had what I'm going to file under a bit of a request because we haven't had the patch long enough to actually answer this question. But Al wrote, I would love to know what everyone is experiencing in the meta with the new patch. Even in anticipation of the patch, I have noticed a shift in the meta in the rank 5 area of ladder. Just as an example, the last 13 matches I have played have all been against Highlander Hunter. The fact that I haven't seen a Warrior or Mage in what for me has been the past 2 days of playing is astounding. That or I just have really weird odds in what I am being matched up against. I mean, personal matchups, it's always going to be anecdotal. I think I saw the opposite of this. I was seeing a pretty healthy, like, class distribution. Then I finally pushed through to Dad Legend and started seeing meme decks like crazy. And
yeah, that always happens at the rank floors. That's what makes it so hard to get out of the 15, 10, and 5. Just those specific one ranks is because people get there and they go, I hit my goal. I'm going to play crazy things now because I can't lose stars at this rank. And so it becomes really difficult to predict what people are going to play and how to actually get out of those ranks.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I think a lot of us just slam games with the same deck over and over again when we're like, all right, I'm done messing around. Let's just climb. So by the time you get to a floor, you're like, all right, let's get weird. So I get it. Yeah. I'm not mad about it at all.
Let's get weird.
Let's get weird. I don't know what that voice is, but my point being is then I didn't move very far, very fast once I hit Dad Legend and suddenly the nerfs got announced and now I start seeing a lot of Mage personally. To me, it felt like a last hurrah. Like we're going to get all our Luna's Pocket Galaxy games in while we can.
Yeah, exactly. Take advantage of it before it's gone forever. Yeah. If it's, you know, strong enough that it's getting such a crazy nerf, then maybe I should take advantage of the fact that it's really strong right now and play it till Monday for sure.
Yeah, that's a vibe I got, but
I've seen that happen.
Al, we'll see if folks write in at TAC podcast or just tacpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to write in everybody and obviously the Patreon Discord, let us know what you're seeing between this week's episode and next week's. Cause I want to see how the meta has kind of developed for you. Especially if you've seen anything kind of odd. And when I say odd, I mean you've seen it more than once. Now you hit rank 10, you hit rank 5, you hit rank 15, and suddenly you're getting run over by a spell power rogue, which happened to me last week, by the way. I got destroyed by a spell power rogue. I don't know what happened, but I ate so many damn buffed weapon attacks via spell power synergy that it was just bizarre. Came out of nowhere. But anyways, so Joss, the Zephyrus hotfixes are on the launcher right now. So we are in real time going to react to it. But before we get into that unplanned section of this episode of the Angry Chicken, I do want to thank our sponsors for today, Harry's Razors. You can check out their offerings over at harrys.com/TAC. If you're watching the video, my neck beard is coming back, and that's because I didn't use my Harry's razor this morning. If I had, you'd be going, oh, damn. Garrett's a handsome man, but instead you're going, oh, he's kind of a crusty bro looking today. He's got his damn hat on. He's got a neck beard. And that is because, well, you know, like Classic opens today and we also had a Hearthstone patch. So I wasn't expecting, you know, to spend too much time on myself today.
But today was not Garrett. Oh, what's that? Pampering day.
That's pampering it. Day. Okay. You didn't want to say manscaping, did you?
I didn't want to, but now that you have. Yeah,
but if I had, I would have lathered my neck up with the rich lathering shave gel that always leaves me smelling nice, and I would have actually busted out their 5-blade razor and cleaned myself up a little bit, which is what I usually do. But you can see it coming back in if you're watching right now. But they're wonderful. If you haven't checked out Harry's, they deliver high-quality, travel-friendly shave supplies at a great low price. It's just $2 per blade. So you should check them out and consider joining the 10 million who have tried Harry's. You can claim your special offer, which is a trial set, by going to harrys.com/TAC. You're going to get their weighted ergonomic handle. You're going to get a 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade for a close shave. You're going to get that rich lathering shave gel. And I can attest it smells very, very good. I definitely open up the bottle and smell it every time I get a new one. And you also get a travel blade cover so you can keep your razor dry and bring it with you on the go. I actually do use this because there's always a wet freaking bathing suit when I travel. Always. I always go to the pool or I always go to the hot tub or I always go to both. So got to keep that blade dry. Listeners of the Angry Chicken can redeem their trial set over at harrys.com/TAC. Again, just head on over to harrys.com/TAC, redeem your trial offer, and let them know the Angry Chicken sent you to help support the show. And now, Jocelyn, are you ready to be the best podcaster you can be and react to things that you haven't seen up until this exact moment in time?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So if you go to the launcher right now, you click on Hearthstone, there's a little blue button next to play that says view patch notes, and it is updated. And somebody give patch notes Steve a raise, because there are so many bullet points under Zephyrus the Great, I'm probably going to skip some things.
Good, because yeah, there's a lot of things here, and some things that we knew were coming from the Celestalon interview that we did. Mm-hmm. So weapon removal. It knows how to remove weapons. Yay.
Yes, that was the big one. That was the big bomb that Celestalon dropped in our interview that you have, if you haven't heard yet, you're going to hear at the end of the podcast. In here, it does say and specifies that they have fixed several bugs involving weapon removal. Acidic Swamp Ooze was sometimes not being offered against one durability weapons. From tweets and patron messages we've been seeing, it seemed like it was never getting offered against one durability weapons. I haven't been playing a lot of Zephyrus myself, so I don't have a lot of personal anecdotes to that, but I don't think I ever saw weapon removal in the few Zephyrus, plays I have pulled off.
Yeah, I mean, I was playing, so because like I said, I've been playing the Highlander decks, which you play with Zephyrus. So you even play him in non-Highlander decks. So I've played a fair amount of him, and I have never seen weapon removal, but I also haven't seen a whole lot of weapons necessarily. So again, I feel like my anecdotal experience is probably not that great either, because I was facing a lot of mages. So there just really wasn't that many opportunities. You know, I was playing it on 2 for wild growth, or, you know, later on to clear a crazy board or whatever. Like weapons didn't really come into the equation all that often. So, but I mean, we know that they were not offered in wild against zero attack weapons, which were sometimes game changing, you know, a Luneth and Skull of Minari. Those things need to go. Yeah, that is more important than anything else going on in the game. Yeah, so
my friends that play Wild were very concerned about the issues with weapon removal staring down the damn Minari. Mm-hmm. So that's been adjusted. One of the bigger issues is that when weapon removal was offered, it was Harrison Jones, and not when you had the mana to play Harrison that same turn that you played Zephyrus. And that has been addressed as well. Actually learning that zero attack weapons are threats, so on and so forth. So we should now get weapon removal when we feel it should be offered. So hopefully that works. Also, Blessed Champion, Inner Rage, Bloodsail Corsair, Holy Fire, Heroic Strike, Avenging Wrath, and Spellbreaker all had issues with them not being offered when they should have, and those issues have been addressed.
Which is kind of good, because I feel like I've seen a lot of talk about Mass Dispel as well as Spellbreaker. And it seems that just outside of the actual card, like priest card silence, it seems like silence isn't always considered when looking at multiple taunts specifically. So sometimes you might get something like the Black Knight to remove one. But something like a Mass Dispel would just be better because there's multiple taunts. So I think silence in general, they might have had some issues teaching him correctly. I was going to say coding him correctly, but that just doesn't seem right when it comes to Zephyrus.
I mean, they have used the term teach more than once when talking about exactly. Hotfixes. So yeah. I mean, it was even brought up in our interview. They also fixed bugs that involved hero powers, and I didn't know about any of this. So this is all brand new to us. Hero powers were sometimes assumed to be usable, even if they had already been used that turn. So that's certainly a bug, has since been addressed. The current cost for hero powers is now considered instead of assuming a cost of 2. That's good, considering druids can get a hero power now that costs nothing.
Yep.
Damage and healing modifiers on hero powers are now accounted for. They also upgraded hero powers are now considered, which is good because Sir Finley is bringing those into the game right now as we speak. And just a card True Heart never went away.
Not to mention Gen and Baku in Wild, right?
Yep, absolutely. And then finally, if your hero power has been replaced, Zephyrus will no longer assume your base hero power is still usable. Didn't know that was an issue that was happening, but I'm glad it has been addressed.
Yeah, that seems like a huge bug.
Yeah. There's a few more things in here as you can go read for yourself in the official patch notes for patch 15.0.4. But I'm really stoked that they're still, you know, chipping away at the beautiful marble sculpture that is Zephyrus.
It really is a wonderful card. I am so glad it's finally in the game. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, same. So let's move on to what will be the last part of this episode, other than the interview itself, which is talking about that Dene stream. Mike Dene joined his daughter on her stream again. I believe it was for her birthday. I think it was the special occasion. But basically did like an unofficial Q&A, just sat there and hung out and took questions from the chat and was pretty damn candid. In fact, probably a little too candid considering some of the nerfs that were announced, I believe the day after Dene appeared on his daughter's stream, were leaked by him accidentally bringing up chat. And he had been talking to somebody, I guess, internally, most likely, about the changes that were going to be coming. But since we already know what the nerfs are, that's not really the biggest news. The biggest news are other things that came out of his impromptu Q&A, including a tournament mode being dug up from its very deep grave and asked why it was scrapped, to which Dene said that they liked the idea about it, but didn't have an implementation that was that was relatively easy to do and would hit a lot of players' desires.
Yeah, and I wasn't gonna mention the T word, but at the same time, somebody asked and he answered with, I think, the most straightforward answer that we've ever kind of got. This doesn't have any PR spin. It still kind of follows the same line of where we had assumed tournament mode went to die, but it's kind of a confirmation and a very like plain, we didn't have anything easy and you guys wanted a metric shit ton. So not going to happen.
I'm curious why we still don't just have like a third party application like China has had literally for years.
Yeah.
Why would, can we not handle it? Are we
maybe
too,
we just want way more. Maybe we are insatiable, Garrett.
Too bad. Give us what you can. Jocelyn, if I want a cookie cake and you like put down like a single chocolate chip cookie in front of me, I'm not going to go, this isn't good enough. I'm going to eat that cookie.
Well, we'll pass that on to Team 5 then. Be like, stop trying to make me a cake. Just make me a cookie and that'll be fine.
I would like to remind folks that we did kind of dump all over their suggested tournament beta.
Yeah.
But it was kind of horrible. It was.
Oh, it totally was. And he's right saying that it would not hit a lot of player desires. What they had proposed was not what we wanted or needed. And I'm hoping somewhere there are a couple of people plugging away on their Friday afternoons at the problem that is tournament mode, and that hopefully someday we will see something that can be implemented. And like we've talked about how great 2019 has been so far, I think that there is a lot of room for them to play around and experiment with stuff. And, you know, they tried something, it didn't work. Now they have a better idea of what it actually is that we want. I don't know how they didn't get that from Reddit over the 4 years before they announced tournament mode was coming. But anyways, now they have a really good idea of exactly what we want because they have the reactions to their original announcement. So if nothing else, they have a better idea of what our player desires actually are. And hopefully someone's plugging away at the problem. I'm still not holding my breath, but yeah. I thought this was a really good answer, and hopefully it's just now been put to bed.
Same. And obviously my reaction is going to be the same for everyone, but just the quality and frequency of updates that have come this year, I think illustrate why that's important, because when that wasn't coming and also tournament mode wasn't coming, it was really easy to get hung up on a single idea and be really disappointed when that idea didn't live up to expectations.
I do feel like we're past the worst part of Hearthstone's history, personally, in terms of development cycles.
I am ready at this point for them to give something that scratched the tournament itch, but is in no way, shape, or form things we've thought of or expected. I think they've already kind of scratched it a little bit with Brawlhalla. I'd like to see that idea expanded upon. Because it is tournament-esque. So let's... Why not make it
tournaments best of threes? Adjacent?
Why not make it best of threes, best of fives? Get in there, get weird. Give us arena tournaments. Give us arena tournaments with sideboarding. Just go nuts, Team 5. Go just nuts.
Get in there and get weird.
Get weird. That's all I want. You could just replace weird with creative if there's I don't know, HR concerns around using the term weird. Is there anything that has surprised you about the set, was asked of Danae, and Zephyrus was the answer. Basically, that doesn't surprise me. That card is insane.
He basically said, like, he knew it was going to be good. He just didn't know it was going to be literally the best card from the set. So I think all of Team 5 seems super proud of Zephyrus, and we are too. I think it's a super awesome design. I love all the work that went into it. So thumbs up on that one.
You know, when I used to say that Yogg-Saron was like the poster child for Hearthstone, if I had to show a single card to someone who understood card games but had never played a game of Hearthstone, Yogg-Saron would be the card that I would show them to blow their freaking mind and make them play this game, even though I hate Yogg-Saron. Now it's Zephyrus, and it's wonderful because I love the card, and I think it's the poster child for why Hearthstone is a card game unlike any other on the market.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Sorry, Yogg fans. Praise C'Thun. If I had to be an acolyte for an old god, I guess it would be C'Thun.
Yeah, Shiraz for me, man.
Yeah, I was also asked what card limits the design space the most, and Danae did not have a single answer.
Yeah, he was kind of, the thing is, it's a very, very broad question, and Hearthstone's a very big game now. But what I did find very interesting was that all the cards that he mentioned were cards from Basic Classic. So it was Malygos, Auctioneer, Alexstrasza, Charge Minions like Boar and Leeroy, and some others that have since been moved into Wild, where he calls them less dangerous, which I thought was really funny. I guess less dangerous for their esport. But I mean, yeah, it's funny. The attitude sometimes of towards Wild is kind of funny.
I think they just have a lot more. They think Wild should have more freedom to have blowout combinations, which I think is kind of where I want Wild to be too. Obviously not everyone's going to agree with me, but you don't have to spin it that way, Joss.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was kind of funny. But yeah, so we are talking, or I guess Danae was talking a lot about basic and classic cards. And he did mention, though, I still think that charge minions are probably on the docket to either see nerfs or to be moved over to Wild. But he did say specifically about cards like Malygos and Auctioneer, they want to keep them in the game in the standard meta because they do tend to move in and out, and they require you to essentially create a deck around them. So it's pretty healthy for the game and for the design, though they are cards that always have to be kind of in the back of designers' minds. It's like, oh, Malygos exists, so maybe I can't do this card. But they do still consider things like Malygos and Auctioneer to be healthy for Hearthstone as a whole. So I wouldn't expect them to go anywhere, even though every time we have a Hall of Fame rotation, everyone's like, Malygos! he's not leaving, you guys. He's not leaving.
And even though I've called for Malygos to leave multiple times, I really like this answer and haven't really thought of it in that way. It ties into what I've been saying about Warrior over the last week or two, which is, I actually think it might play a really healthy role in the meta as we currently see it. And I don't think Danae is crazy here at all. I think he makes a good point that these are Malygos and Auctioneer specifically. These are two cards that go in and out and are kind of a good thing for the game in terms of a starting point if you're trying to come up with an archetype.
Yeah,
because I'm seeing Malygos right now, but I'm not seeing a lot of Auctioneer.
And, yeah, I haven't seen Auctioneer in a while.
And I wasn't seeing Malygos before Uldum dropped, and it took even a little bit into Uldum for Malygos druids to try and make that work.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's... Man has a point. confirmed that they do sometimes take inspiration from fan-made cards, saying that they don't think they've ever copied an exact design or received like a perfect design, a card that would actually work, but certainly have gotten inspiration from fan designs, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. So, cause I mean, there's a whole, I think, subreddit for like custom Hearthstone cards. And I believe it's Hearthpwn that runs like a weekly card design competition type thing. And yes, yeah, so there's lots of people. There always have been out there designing not only cards, but sometimes full sets and art and all the rest of it. So keep at it, guys, cause they're watching.
Yeah. It is not for me, by the way.
I get fooled by them sometimes, especially when they do like posts around like expansion releases. Sometimes you guys are really freaking good and you confuse me.
Yeah, you know what does it for me is when they use art that looks like it could actually be Hearthstone art.
Yes.
When they use art that's like, oh, I've seen this piece. It's from like Vanilla WoW and they would never use this. Like, I'm like, okay, clearly a fake. But when they like grab some like kind of like pseudo cartoony Warcraft art that totally looks like it could be in the Hearthstone spirit, that's when I go, wait, is this a real card?
Yeah.
Fan-made cards have never been an interest for me. But there's clearly a large like subset of the fandom that are really into it.
Yeah, 100%.
It's like all I ever see on Facebook. I'm in I think the group's called The Inn. It's a huge Hearthstone group on Facebook. And that's like the only thing I ever see come out of there. And every now and then, like a really good Hearthstone meme, but it's mostly like homebrewed cards.
Yeah. Some people really love coming up with cool custom things. So
yeah,
keep it up.
Yep. And then open question. Danae was asked just what his thoughts on Arena were.
And I thought this was a pretty good answer, actually. I mean, he talked about how he liked that they were experimenting with Arena, which is kind of our thoughts on just Hearthstone as a whole right now, is that we're really glad they're experimenting. So everybody seems to be in the thumbs up for giving things a try kind of headspace. And he said he's excited about the new change that's coming with the old, basically bringing back the old system, which I think we talked about on the last episode, and how things aren't necessarily permanent changes, but if people love them, then maybe they will keep it longer than initially planned. So they seem to be very, very open with Arena. And they're also really listening to the Arena community, which I think is important, because he talked about basically how much positive feedback that they've gotten around changing the sets that are available in Arena. So it seems like they're really paying attention and open to just mixing things up in the Arena based on how much fun people are having, which really should be the way that they deal with the video game. Like, people are having fun, good, keep it the same. People aren't having fun, okay, change it.
Yep. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. And just the kind of the human tone to this, I really like. Because last week we talked about the Arena changes and it really seemed like it threw the Arena community into a bit of a frenzy in terms of the discussion around it. So I think if it, I don't know, at least me, I calm down a lot hearing this from Danae saying, no, this is an experiment. We'll see how it goes.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know why I wouldn't think that already, because they've already, like this year especially, have clearly shown they're willing to experiment, but still, your mind gets carried away sometimes.
Chat room's calling this their experimental college years.
Hey man, try this.
Yeah.
What do you, hey, you ever tried a 5-man Alunith Pocket Galaxy? Huh? No? Oh man, you haven't lived. Don't be so square, man. There's a 2-man extra arms. This is getting weird. It was asked if the team had ever considered making their own in-game deck tracker. And apparently very much so. According to Danae, they've spent a good amount of time talking about the pros, the cons, how they would actually display it without it just being a clutter of mess on the screen. They've kind of decided that it would take too much work to build it, to keep it up to date, and have a great interface and back end. So they have just decided to prioritize other things before an official in-game Hearthstone deck tracker, which doesn't bum me out that much considering there's a really good one that I can use right now, but not on my iPhone. But that's okay. I don't like playing on my phone anyway, and I only care about what I want.
Well, yeah, so he did also say that they have more people now, so there's more chances of features like this coming to Hearthstone. But I agree with you. For me, it's not necessarily that Hearthstone Deck Tracker is such an amazing UI and doing such a great job. They are, and it is, and I use it and really like it. But for me, it's access to the HS Replay stats that are fed into from Deck Tracker. That's where I get the most use out of it. Like, when I'm actually in game in the UI, it's great to see my deck list, especially, like I said, I've been playing a lot of these Highlander decks, so it's really nice to remember what I even put in this iteration of 30 cards. It's a nice quality of life convenience thing, but I can play the game without it. But what I love is being able to go to HS Replay and pull that information out of the back end and see, like, what do win rates look like? What are the percentages of the mulligan? What should I be subbing in and out if I don't have these cards? Like, access to that back end data is where I think the real strength of Hearthstone Deck Tracker is. And I wouldn't want to see Blizzard implement something unless it came along with that functionality somewhere, which is a huge ask in their current UI. So I'm fine with things staying the way they are because the third party software in this case is so good that, like, everything all together, that whole HS Replay Hearthstone Deck Tracker package works really well. Unless you can do it better, Blizz, maybe just leave it as is.
Yeah.
But maybe say something along the lines of, you're allowed to use Deck Tracker in tournaments or something. Like, if it's something that you're considering putting in the native UI, maybe relax your tournament rules a little bit more.
Well put. Nothing to add. I agree with you. other than, I don't know, maybe I'd like my deck list slightly more than you do. Like, that's about it. But that's not...
Well, I mean, like I said, I like it, but I can play without it. So
yeah.
To me, it's as much as it's a nice to have thing, I think the power it actually lies in the website personally. I think that informs a lot of my Hearthstone decisions. It's how I find new decks a lot of the times. It just, yeah, it's such a powerful tool. And Red Fox in chat room saying that Hearthstone, like Blizzard, natively tracks a lot of this information anyways. And I say a lot of, they track all this information. They probably have way, way, way more stuff than what HS Replay can actually pull or Hearthstone Deck Tracker can actually pull. If they put out an API, that would be super cool because I would love Hearthstone add-ons. There's a lot of stuff that I feel like add-ons could help fix in the Hearthstone desktop application. So I'm always on board with add-ons and API stuff. So yes, do that. Because yeah, the more stuff we can pull from Hearthstone, then the happier I'll be because stats are fun.
Yep.
Yay, Matt.
Yep. And I think that's a good stopping point talking about the Nays Q&A. There was a lot more there. You can see a rundown over on Hearthpwn, and I'm sure there's rundowns on other fan sites as well. We may even pull a few more from them if there's like a quiet week, which we haven't had in forever in Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. But if we have one, we may go back to the Danae well.
Yeah.
But
you skipped the most important question, Garrett.
What? Where are the dragons at?
Where are the dragons at?
Well, according to Danae, that's a good question. And that's where he left it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Joss, it sure seems like there may be dragons in the next expansion.
I'm pretty sure the next expansion is just going to be called They're Freaking Here, okay?
I think the next expansion will be called Finally Kibler Can Shut Up.
You know, dragons aren't just for Kibler, right? Some of us also love dragons.
Yeah, I know, but his love for dragons spans more than one card game.
It's true.
So anyways, that's going to wrap it up for Jocelyn and I talking to you in what is not pre-recorded form. But if you're listening to this after the fact, it's all pre-recorded.
Oh,
yeah. Before we roll the interview, thanks again to our patrons over at patreon.com/TAC. Huge thanks to our producers, Declan H, Sean C, and Cheesy Bob. You can support the Angry Chicken over at patreon.com/TAC. Go check it out. But before we go, Jocelyn, where can everybody find you? I would assume, I don't know, playing, talking about, or just generally nerding out about Classic WoW.
Yeah, pretty much. You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm at Joss Plays. I will not be streaming Classic WoW today. I'm going to let all you all get into those loading screens and sit there for hours on end. I'm going to play some Hearthstone tonight, but tomorrow I will definitely be jumping into Classic WoW. Looking forward to it. It's going to be really fun. So if you guys are interested in that at all, again, twitch.tv/JossPlays.
I am Garrett Art on Twitter. All the podcasts I do can be found over at amove.tv. I'm going to be streaming some Classic WoW tomorrow with Scott. And then I think we're immediately like going into an instance recording afterwards, you know, providing we can actually get into the game. We'll see what happens.
You might actually just record the instance while you're sitting waiting to try.
That could be it. Yeah, the instance this week is going to be one of two very different things. It's either going to be, oh, we played Classic and it was great and this was weird and this thing happened, or it's going to be, and it was an entirely accurate recreation of the launch of Vanilla World of Warcraft in that we couldn't play a second. So let's talk about live, I guess? So anyways, go check that out. Check out everything else out over at amove.tv. Into the Next is still coming at you strong every week, talking Heroes of the Storm. Lots happening with that game. I am very suspiciously awaiting a balance patch for that game. I would imagine would be coming this week. We'll have to see, but go check out Into the Nexus wherever podcasts can be found, and that's going to wrap it up. Now, sit tight and enjoy our interview with Celestalon about the history of Zephyrus. Greetings and welcome, everyone, to a special edition of The Angry Chicken. I'm Garrett Weinzerl, here with Jocelyn Carney, and our special guest for today's interview, Celestalon.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Welcome to the show. We're doing well. How are you doing?
I'm excited. I'm glad to be here.
It's a big week for Hearthstone. So, like, for a peek behind the curtain, everybody, we are recording this on Thursday, which means it's August 22nd. Like, a big news bomb just dropped. There's a balance changes coming to the game. But we are here because the way this all happened was, well, you started talking on Twitter, Celestalon, and as people know, that can cause trouble.
As
like,
I do.
Like getting invited to do an interview. Because you were talking about Zephyrus and kind of the history behind the card. And when Zephyrus was revealed, we were all very, very excited about this card because it looked kind of crazy.
So were we.
And then Uldum came out, and it also, on top of just the card being super cool, it turns out is also competitively viable. Like, a lot of people are playing Zephyrus. We're recommending it on our podcast to folks that are like, I've only got 1600 dust. What do I do with it? We're just like, Zephyrus, just do it. Get the Zephyrus and play with it. You're going to have a good time.
Yeah, I know some people were really worried about like how many bombs would be in decks and you wouldn't be able to play Zephyrus at all. But turns out that Zephyrus is not too bad.
We ended up being very wrong about the little taunt package that Warrior got, by the way, because we were like, oh, that's going to be good enough to just make Warriors want to do that instead of bombs.
Yeah.
At least in most cases. But you started talking on Twitter about the whole history behind the card of Zephyrus.
Yeah.
We also had a guest on the show recently. You may know him, Raven, who was like, oh, yeah, I heard rumblings of what became Zephyrus like years ago. And like, it's crazy. So like, is it true like that Zephyrus, like this card has been something that the team has been trying to crack for years?
Yeah, I think it's at least been a twinkle in Peter's eye in particular for years. Peter's original concept was just, hey, what if we had a card that was just, would Battlecry pick any card, add it to your hand? That had some problems to work through, but eventually that turned into Zephyrus. We tried a whole bunch of different ways to do that, but it wasn't until Savers of Uldum that we thought, okay, we think we can do this. Let's try really hard to make that work for Savers of Uldum.
You mentioned that there were a lot of, like, it took you a long time. There were a lot of different things that you tried. Can you give us an idea of what other iterations you went through before you actually settled on what Zephyrus currently, like how he currently works?
Yeah. The original design had the problem of, okay, what does that mean? Do you like pause the game and then pull up the collection manager? Do you have to like type in a card name? At one point we considered like, okay, do we do like a really big Rolodex spinner that you flip through in the middle of the game?
Oh my God, that would have been so good.
At some point it was like, discover a class, then discover a cost, then discover a card. So you could sort of skew it towards the ones you want. But inevitably that would lead you to like, okay, you didn't get the discover option you wanted and you got stuck with something really bad. The big leap forward where we thought, okay, we can do this is when we switched to ideas that mostly revolved around Zephyrus being smart in some way and filtering the choices down somehow. It wasn't even necessarily a choice for a long time. Sometimes it was like Zephyrus would be smart enough to detect what card in your deck was going to be the best card and draw the best card from your deck for this situation. At some point it was also just add the best card from a huge range of cards to your hand. Our favorite ended up being the semi-discover type thing. It doesn't technically count as a discover. It doesn't follow normal discover rules, but it is a pick from three. So Zephyrus be really smart and pick one of three was the core idea that we thought would work.
You mentioned that he used to try to pull the best card from your deck. Did that just turn out to be too strong? Because as soon as you said that, I was like, oh my God, that seems like it would be so powerful.
Well, in a way, the current version is even more powerful because you can get cross-class stuff.
True.
And you can get situational stuff that you don't have to pollute your deck with when it's otherwise wouldn't be good. I think the current version is probably actually stronger than pick the best from your deck. But best from your deck had even more of a challenge. He had to be able to evaluate every card that you could potentially have in your deck, which is a huge range of cards.
Does that kind of get into the challenges with having to quote unquote teach Zephyrus, like we saw with the hotfix, over a week ago now?
Yeah. There's a difference between what cards he knows about to evaluate for potentially offering you and game mechanics and like the board state and him being able to evaluate that. We recently taught him about Doomsayer because that had such a singularly large, way beyond its cost impact on the board and like risked giving you just really terrible options when it was involved. So we did teach him about Doomsayer, but we're not intending to continue down that slippery slope. What cards he knows about, we have made some fixes to for a few cards that didn't work. You mentioned at the start of the show, there's the we've talked about balance changes coming soon on Monday, and that hotfix will also include some hotfixes to Zephyrus as well.
Oh, cool. And that wasn't in the announcement.
A few things that he's going to go into there. He's had some problems with like weapon removal. He's had some problems with hero powers. We're smartening him up in a few different ways.
We had some chat rumors talking about the weapon removal during our show on this past Tuesday. Is he getting smarter on the weapon removal front?
He's getting way smarter on the weapon removal. Give him 2 mana left over and the opponent's got a weapon, he'll probably offer you an ooze now.
Nice.
Excellent.
that was supposed to be that way. There's just bugs involved.
It was in Wild, I think, is where I saw some reports coming from with the zero attack weapons where he was just like, that's not a threat.
Yep. He knows that he should get rid of zero attack weapons now.
That's awesome. Any other kind of noteworthy changes coming in that hotfix you're allowed to talk about?
There are just a bunch of cards that weren't being offered in the appropriate situation, like Holy Fire, Avenging Wrath, Bloodsail Corsair. There's quite a few that are just fixed up now to actually offer them correctly when the time is right. They still won't be super common offers, but when the time's right, Zephyrus should give them to you now.
He's a little more interested.
Time is always right for Avenging Wrath.
It sounds like he's a little more interested in board control.
A little bit.
Nice. Well, getting back to kind of the design of the card, can you, started to get into it on Twitter, but I was curious if we could kind of, peel back the curtain a little bit more. Can you tell us about how the card works on the back end? Because it's just so impressive. Like, where does it begin where Zephyrus can find the perfect card?
I'm sure there has been no card in Hearthstone's history that has had nearly as much work put into a single card. There have been many, many iterations of Zephyrus as far as just implementation, even once we had the design we liked. I think the design that you all, or the Zephyrus that you're all playing with right now is probably Zephyrus version 6.2, I'd say. Just to give you some like setup for how the Hearthstone team works. We've got programmers that are great at writing code. They write our server and our client. And we've also got designers who design the game and create the cards involved using tools that the programmers supply us. Most of the cards are built using scripts. Scripts are like very simple code. Think of it like the programmers are writing novels and us designers are filling in Mad Libs.
I like that description.
Yeah.
So if we want complex things, like we need to ask the programmers to like, hey, can you make a Mad Lib that does this for us? So we'd been talking about this. And when we got to the Zephyrus is smart, he'll offer you 3, pick one of them sort of design. But one of our programmers started getting involved, Martin, and he took a first stab at building Zephyrus in code and built it pretty similarly to how our PvE AI works. That was a great starting point. It let us play test it, see if this is going to be something we want to pursue forward, keep putting the time into. And it was. So we kept going with it. It was restrictive to make changes to a whole lot of design work that needed to go into the logic for Zephyrus. We needed to iterate from it being all in code. So then one of our more technical minded designers started building a big script built code, just like we do most cards, that just was very heavy in conditional logic and sort of things. That was Liv. And so we gathered together and started building like, okay, how do we build this like huge flowchart logic sort of thing of like, okay, if there's enough minions on the board, okay, what's enough? Okay, if there's enough minions with four or less health to make flame strike worth it, then we'll give you flame strike. And we ended up just building out as a team this huge like flow chart. And Liv did our first big implementation of something fairly similar to what you get nowadays from Zephyrus.
Wow, that was all out of a handwritten flowchart.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
crazy. Like you were trying to boil down like the essence of player decision making.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually pretty hard when you get down to it. So that was Zephyrus 2.0. Liv moved on to some other tasks, and Steven, one of our other designers, Puffin, you may know him, took over then and kept iterating from there. And then that gave us Zephyrus 3.0. Continued just more flowcharting, more working on the logic that goes into it under the hood. Most of our cards are built using 2 to 20, maybe up to 50 lines of script. So just to give you an idea of like the scale of things. Zephyrus hit 1,000 at that point.
Oh my God.
and that started running into technical issues involved in having scripts way beyond the mean. We're still running into problems that like were becoming really hard to solve with the Mad Libs that we had available. Version 4 was born when I took over from there and moved it back into code. See, I was a programmer before becoming a designer, so I still had an itch to write some code occasionally, albeit very rusty. like I am not up to par with that are actual programmers. So huge props to them. I can not hold a candle to them. But I took a stab at like, okay, I'll try writing this on the code side, and we also were running into a lot of like edge cases with the flowchart method that we couldn't come up with good solutions to. It would miss things because it would go down one branch and then have no way to get back to the other. And so we came up with a new model for how it works. And that's what it uses now is I don't have a great name for it. People have asked if it's machine learning. It's not. It's a state prediction and comparison engine, I guess I'd call it. I don't know. I don't have a great name for it. Here's a general idea for how Zephyrus works under the hood now. It takes a snapshot of the game state of just all the public info in the game. Minions on the board, weapons, secrets, not what secrets they are, just how many. How many cards you have in your hand, how many cards are in your deck, same for the opponent, health, armor, just all the public info that you could walk up to someone's screen and see. And then it has this huge list of potential cards that we've written a function for each of them. And for each of these cards, it's like, okay, what will the game state look like after you play this card? And maybe that means you have to wait a turn, so simulate all the effects of waiting a turn. What will it look like? And there might be different potential targets too. So, okay, there's a function for Fireball. Okay, try Fireball against all the potential enemy minions, maybe even your own minions for some super weird case, maybe against the opponent's face. Try all those different options. And for each of those, come up with what will the game state look like after that gets played? And then so we keep adding to this huge list of potential game states. When we get done with all these functions, we've got literally hundreds of potential game states. We've got ways to evaluate each of those based on like health remaining. Okay, did you kill your opponent? That's probably pretty good. Minions on your side of the board are pretty good. Minions on the enemy's board, not so good. All the same things that we were tracking for the board state are things that we can evaluate the value of. Based on that, we can figure out which cards to offer you. We also have an additional nuance of we have cards in categories, sometimes multiple categories, depending on how they're used, like cards that like Starfall could be used as an AoE or single target. So we conditionally set their category. But we try to give you things from different categories. If there's multiple things from the from one category that are all really, really good compared to anything else, there's some threshold where it'll still give you multiple from the same category. But for the most part, it'll try to offer you choices. So you can choose based on what other tools you have available.
And all of that is happening when you play the card?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
that all happens on the fly when you play the card.
Jeez.
Really impressive.
Yeah.
can you walk us through a little bit of the limitations with the card? Because we did mention a little bit earlier how it doesn't work, how other discover effects work, where it can get anything from all legal cards in the format. We're only talking classic basic. Is this part of your flowchart and everything you've just talked about?
Yeah. We initially started with classic and basic, and we initially started with a much smaller subset than that even. Classic and basic seem to be like a pretty big, wide pool of cards that gave you options to choose from almost any situation. If we went too far, it would we'd start losing some of the skill involved in Zephyrus, because we really liked that being able to predict what Zephyrus would give you was actually a pretty big impactful choice in Zephyrus. Even just when to play him, whether to save it for later or make use of it now. Basic and Classics was a great fit for that. However, just to step back a second, when we got to the point where we had Zephyrus working with that model simulation version that I built, we didn't stop there because, like I said, my code is not up to par. I'm not nearly as skilled programmer. We gave it back to the programmers at that point. So that was only Zephyrus 4.0. Zephyrus 5.0 was when Martin took it back and fixed a bunch of bugs, tons of bugs. Also added a bunch of features to support our QA team automating testing of Zephyrus. It was actually really important that since any change we make to Zephyrus's logic could have cascading effects that weren't obvious. So it was really important that we had great testing of it so we could be confident in making changes. So we had a team of QA people, Clint, Atesh, Eric, and Thomas, built this huge test suite of potential situations for Zephyrus and automated testing of these so we could just immediately see, okay, now we made this change and now it's no longer offering this card. That's a bug. We need to solve this. We could more confidently make tweaks to it. And continuing on from there, Zephyrus 6.0 was when it got handed over to David, another one of our programmers, who polished up a ton of the code, got it ready to ship, fixed a bunch of bugs, implemented a bunch more features within it. A few more cards that had been troublesome for us to be able to find ways to check for, and got that all polished up. So that was 6.0, which is what I'd say we released as the pre-release or during the pre-release. But 6.1 came out on launch day. Even just between pre-release and launch, we hotfixed a bunch of things. And we had another round of hotfixes after that. And now coming up soon, a whole bunch more. So look forward to a hotfix notes on Monday with a bunch more changes to Zephyrus.
That's awesome.
I guess it helps to have the whole Hearthstone community doing your QA as well, right? Finding little issues that might have been too edge case to catch.
yeah. And that's all just talking about the normal stuff or the special stuff that was unique to Zephyrus. There's still all the normal stuff that went into Zephyrus of getting card art, making spell visual effects for it, sounds, etc., and playtesting. The whole Hearthstone team contributed to playtesting Zephyrus a ton. I think Peter alone playtested literally thousands of games explicitly testing Zephyrus. I hope you can see with all the bouncing back and forth between people and tons of people working on it, I think Zephyrus is both the most work we've ever put into one card and the biggest team effort we've ever had. And so we're really excited to have it get out there.
I mean, kind of talking again, I mean, it is technically a limitation of the card, so it kind of ties into Joss's question. And was Zephyrus always a card that was supposed to be a Highlander specific or Reno deck specific? Mm. Or was there ever a time in Zephyrus's journey where there was not that clause?
we'd been working on it for a while, like I said, so it wasn't always going to be in Highlander. We knew that it was a cool effect, and when we're designing any card, we have to assume that any cool effect has some downsides to it as well, for just to keep the card within a reasonable like power level, right?
Yeah.
So, it might have been just, oh, it's like a 5-mana 2/2 or something, and just stats alone are the limitation on it. That works for a lot of cards. When we thought we were going to do it in Saviors of Uldum, that also just fit naturally with the genie in a bottle, magic lamp, pick your three wishes flavor. Yeah. So we knew that was going to fit great. So we went with that. And we knew we wanted to hit Highlander decks really hard in Saviors of Uldum and make that a really exciting big part of it. And this was a cool thing that fit into that, but also in a way that sort of smoothed out the inconsistency that you see with the Highlander decks a lot of like, okay, if you've only got one copy of a card in your deck, that means it's less likely to be there when you need it.
Well, speaking of getting outs when you need outs, I mean, we've had a few weeks to play now. We've seen Masters Tour Seoul happen and Grandmaster Season 2 is coming. Like, are we worried at all about Zephyrus and his power level? Because he seems to be very strong, especially in the right hands, as we've seen at this level of play. Are you worried at all about the impact he might potentially have? Because we're even seeing him get played in decks with duplicates, which seems kind of counterintuitive. So do you think he's going to have a big impact on esports going forward?
He is very powerful. If he becomes too powerful, we're willing to make changes, of course. But he also has this massive deck construction requirement of Singleton. However, like you said, that you can run some duplicates, but that's a pretty edge case. It's not the norm. However, we think it is pretty cool that in some specific decks, you'll run Zephyrus even with a whole bunch of duplicates. I've played Plot Twist Warlock a bunch with tons of duplicates and Zephyrus just because you're probably going to draw through most, if not all, of your deck. So Zephyrus activates then.
I've been playing him a lot in my Murloc Paladin.
I was going to say, yeah, Murloc Paladin.
I've been playing Murloc Paladin too.
Yeah, and Fim.
I think that the thing that makes me very happy with it in competitive play is just how skillful he is to play. It takes a lot of skill to really get the perfect card at the perfect time at the expense of potentially a different perfect card later on. So knowing how to use Zephyrus best is really hard. And I've definitely seen the difference in our pro players making use of it.
Yeah, it's something we've been talking about a lot on the show, is just how much it rewards a very large knowledge base of Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. So kind of along the same lines. I mean, it's you know, it is probably too early to say if Zephyrus is too good, but the card is like certainly successful to a great degree. And we're curious, like, how much do concerns of a card being too ubiquitous or like too common, how much does that come into play when designing powerful neutrals? Because we've had offenders over the history of Hearthstone.
Yeah. Our big concern when creating neutral legendaries is build arounds, as in they're really powerful and exciting in the right deck, but not in all decks. There are exceptions to that, intentionally so. Like Ziliax and Siamat, for example. But in those cases, we do them very sparingly, and they have to be things that don't drastically change the game. Like when you get down to it, Siamat is a mid-range minion with a couple keywords. It's not unreasonable to see your opponent do when they do it. That's the sort of thing we're looking for. If it's got to be exciting in the right deck, but not all decks, or pretty tame. We do a few of those.
We've got a couple of questions from our community, if you don't mind.
Sure.
First one comes to us from Rocket Sauce, who asked, has the intense coding and logic needed for Zephyrus unlocked any other ideas, perhaps for Tavern Brawl or future elements of the game?
Well, Zephyrus has definitely sparked a lot of ideas for us for similar cards or other ways we could use that tech. Making more cards like that definitely risks making Zephyrus feel less exciting if we start sprinkling that around too much. But something like a Tavern Brawl might be coming that could use that.
Interesting. Someone's being coy.
I would like to wish for that tavern brawl. That's my wish.
Wish for the perfect tavern brawl. All
right. That would be interesting.
Zephyrus might give it to you.
And then it pairs you up with the other person that wished for the same tavern brawl, and you fight.
There you go.
Listener Rakamar wrote in and asked, is there a cool card that never got made because it was too hard to code?
Not often. Occasionally we'll redesign cards for partially due to technical implementation reasons, but usually those also have other design or UI issues as well. Take, for example, Grifta. Grifta, we redesigned from its original version, partially for tech reasons, but also for design issues. Its original version was discover a card, then your opponent gets to guess which one you picked. And if they guess right, they get it instead.
That seems very complicated.
It was, we both didn't have tech to do that in a bulletproof way.
Well, and it would be directly taking action on your opponent's turn, which is something we haven't seen in Hearthstone. Like, you would have to interact on their turn, which is crazy.
Right. We very quickly had that, of course, then switched it to be at the beginning of your opponent's turn, they get a discover pop-up with it. Even that, like, you're playing Hearthstone, you tab out, your opponent's taking your turn, you tab back, and there's a discover up in your face, and you're like, what am I discovering? So that had problems.
Maybe don't tab out of the game.
We also tried, it puts a card, like Grifta's choice card in your opponent's hand that they play then to get that choice. It still was like just weird and not really worth it. So we ended up with the Grifta that's in there now. But that's an example of how like tech can influence, but not fully direct our designs.
Very sense. Cool. We have one last question from Leon Lewis GJ, who says, the bounce cards are specifically banned from Zephyrus's pool. Are there any other cards specifically that are impossible for him to get, not counting vanilla minions, because there's almost always better choices?
The bounce cards were the only ones that we explicitly banned for gameplay reasons. No wishing for more wishes. It just ended up being super repetitive and degenerate. We did try it at first, like you might imagine. That only took a couple games to be like, nope, that's not going to work. No wishing for more wishes. But other than that, there's nothing that we've explicitly banned for gameplay reasons. Like you mentioned, vanilla minions aren't in there. But there's also just in general a ton of things that Zephyrus doesn't offer you because there's better things for. In some cases, there's things that are strictly strictly better or strictly identical. Like I think he offers you Arcane Shot, not Smite. Never bothered to do Smite because Arcane Shot and Smite are literally identical functionality. There's also just a ton of cards that are only good with appropriate synergies, and he's not looking at what cards in your hand. So like he'll never offer you Unbound Elemental, for example, because he doesn't know if you have overload cards in your hand. We tried to basically hit any card that could potentially be useful. I don't have the exact number on hand, but I believe he's currently at about 130 cards that he'll potentially offer you, depending on the situation.
That's a pretty big pool.
Yeah, we thought Basic and Classic, just anything useful from Basic and Classic was a big enough pool. I've seen the wiki. I remember what some wiki on the community's built about what card Zephyrus can offer, and I think they've counted 122 or something. A few of them there's bugs coming, fixes on Monday to add. You'll start seeing a few more. And they're guessing a few of them on there that they don't have right. But for the most part, they're about accurate.
That's awesome. Well, Celestelin, we can't thank you enough for taking the time to come on the show and
absolutely give us pleasure.
Give us the scoop on Zephyrus. So, before we go, where can everyone find you if they'd like to keep up to date with some of your very very interesting tweets?
I am mostly on Twitter. I'm at Celestelin.
And other than that, everyone. It sounds like if you're listening to this on Monday or after, you should probably head over to playhearthstone.com and check out those Zephyrus hot fixes.
Yep.
Which means you should also listen to Angry Chicken because we're recording on Monday and we're probably talking about those Zephyrus hot fixes right now.
Probably.
Well, thank you again, Celestelin, and to everyone watching. If you're checking this out on YouTube instead of on the podcast, go check out the Angry Chicken podcast. Wherever podcasts can be found. You'll hear all about those hot fixes. Thanks again. Right now. Job's done.
Job's done.
Job's done.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Dodged a bullet there.
That was close. That was really close.
That was a close one.